For a new Ford, make it Bill Curry, Tampa Bay's first family of Ford for over 60 years. At Bill Curry, our prices are better than good. They're the best, and they're right up front with our $5,000 best price guarantee. That's right, Bill Curry will meet or beat any Ford dealer's best offer or give you $5,000 cash. Shop our huge selection of new Fords, then get the lowest price, the best price, or we'll give you $5,000 cash. Only at Bill Curry Ford, located on Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
Broadcasting from the ESPN Tallahassee studios in Florida's capital city and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, this is the Scuttle Bucks on 97.9 ESPN Radio. The Scuttle Bucks with Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years and home of the nationwide lifetime warranty for new and pre-owned vehicles. BillCurryFord.com. Here's ESPN and Tallahassee's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
I could get used to this. Doing the Scuttlebox, talking about wins, just wins all over the place. This is a good way to go. Much better way to begin each of our discussions. Welcome in. Good to have you. I'm Jeff. That's Tom. Voice guy told you that. Bucks win. And now, do we dare dream of the playoffs, Tom?
Well, if that's what you're waiting for, we could tease it to the end, or we could just say no. No, we're not. No.
You know, it's funny. It's how quickly it comes back, this unbridled enthusiasm and optimism. When you're in the midst of losing four straight to the Saints, Panthers, Titans, Seahawks, you go, well, good Lord, I don't know that they'll win another game. You know, and then you squeak one out against the Cardinals because they blow it at the end. And you go, okay, well, they gifted that one. Turn right around and lose to the Saints convincingly. And you're thinking, well, good Lord. But now you win two straight. And you look convincing doing so. You cruise to those victories. Both road wins, right? And now you come home against the Colts, who look like they're reeling a little bit. Then you go to the Lions. I don't know. You start daring to dream a little bit, and actually what it does, I thought about this on my drive into the studios this morning, what it does is make you think back and reflect on the ones that got away needlessly. Like, I don't go back and think about the 49ers game. That team's really good. If we played them now, they'd beat us worse than they did in that first game. But I think about that Giants game a lot. I think about that Giants game a lot because Danny Dimes sucks. And he looked like Joe Montana against us. Put it out there on film for the rest of the league to see. They've adjusted. The Giants are awful. And that loss just sits there.
He'll always have that day, though. He'll always have it.
Well, it's that rock in your shoe, and you can't get it. And it's so annoying. That loss, I keep going back to it. I mean, damn it, make a kick.
Well, that's just one shoe. You got a rock in the other shoe. It's called the Tennessee game.
Well, 27-23, that's ridiculous, that game. That one hurts too. And that hurts because we did some things to allow for that, and then we got screwed by the officials.
Oh, we gave up some short fields now. Yes, we did.
Yes, we did. So very, very frustrating. But if you beat the Colts in the Lions, and it's not unreasonable. And by the way, I think that we're going to beat the Colts. And I think we're going to go on the road and beat the Lions. So you'll be looking at a 4-game win streak. Now, we got to go do it. I can't talk about it as if it's happened. But I think it's a reasonable expectation to beat the Colts this weekend at home. They're not very good. They have my favorite player in the league, and Quentin Nelson, who we were one needless touchdown pass away from being able to draft.
Oh, but it felt important in the moment for Jameis.
It felt important. Yeah. Looking back on it now, I'm like, really wish you hadn't done that. You know, the story of the game, this past game for the Bucks was to get off to a good start, obviously, and then red zone defense was really good. Getting after the passer, creating turnovers, obviously is a big deal. Jameis played well. It's interesting to think about the way that game went. He doesn't throw any touchdown passes, but he throws some dimes in that first quarter. Probably four of them I counted that are really high-level high-end throws that you expect the best quarterbacks in the league to make. Not a lot of boneheaded decisions. I was somewhat more impressed by the passes he didn't make than the ones that he did. But one thing that does continue to bother me, and, you know, obviously end-of-game time management is a mess for Tampa Bay. Throw in when you should run, that's just on the norm. That's just regular. I don't know if that's Arians. Ultimately falls at the feet of the head coach.
It's not white supremacist.
No. They're not stepping in calling pass plays, no? No, but it's really frustrating. But it's the fact that Ronald Jones can't stay on the field, and the reason he can't is because he can't pass block. And so he gets pulled because he misses a block terribly early in this game. And in essence, that's why he gets pulled a lot, because he's a much better, more effective runner than Barber. But he can't stay on the field because he can't pass block. And that is, listen, that's a golden rule. It's in college and in high school both.
Well, yeah, unless you want to just on first and second down, you know, put yourself in a position to run the football, get ahead of the chains, and say, stop him. Go ahead and stop him. But I agree. You need to be able to trust a player for three downs. And it's part of his development. It's not like we're going to the playoffs. So, you know, if he needs to learn some lessons, then teach the lessons.
The playoffs.
We're not going to the playoffs. It's ridiculous. We just, you know, the Atlanta game is way more impressive than this one. This team had no chance to beat us with Nick Foles at quarterback.
No.
Zero chance.
Yeah, no, obviously he was done.
At kickoff, I am fully expecting a win as though it's 2002 all over again. And we're playing the Bears from that era. You know, it's just, to me, this is what the NFL is.
Yeah.
You know, you feel awesome some weeks, you feel terrible other weeks, but truly it's about a bounce here or a bounce there most of the time. The good news for me is in the win over the Cardinals, and then the way we beat the Falcons on the road, the way we won last week, we're not the dregs of the league. We've established that.
So let's push
forward and try and create some real momentum towards the end of the season. I thought if we got the win over the Cardinals a few weeks ago, we'd look at a 6-8 record with two to play. I still think we're on that track. I don't know if that means we drop this one or the one next week, but I think we go 1-1, and then we got a chance to get to 500 with home dates against the Texans on a Saturday and then the Falcons in Week 17.
Well, you're not beating the Texans, so you better win these two. You better beat the Colts and the Lions and then turn around and beat the Falcons at the end of the year, who have nothing to play for. And so, you know, that those are three wins that are very gettable. You get to that number. You get to 8-8. Really does color the offseason, right? It does change the way you view what just happened and what's possible going into next year and where the franchise is at. I mean, there are a lot of things that change in your mind about how close you are, relatively how close you are to being a playoff team. I mean, the Saints are clearly the best team in this division, but everybody else is a train wreck. I mean,
well,
you're right there.
We might be the least of the train wrecks. The thing I'd say is, if for no other reason, because I can understand the fan out there that says I'd rather have a better draft pick.
Sure.
But I'd like to finish 7-9, 8-8 if we can, for no other reason than I want to retain some of this talent. I want Shaq Barrett to feel two things when the offseason comes. A debt of gratitude to the Buccaneers for giving him a chance, and then also a feeling like, hey, man, we might be on the way up here. I'm going to stick around. You know, maybe I would have gone to a contender if we finished 4-12, but, you know, things might be turning around here. I'd like to see the locker room attitude and the free agency attitude, and by free agency, I mean our own guys whose contracts are coming due. I'd like to see those guys want
to
I mean, Dominican
Sue. Yeah, begin to believe. Sure.
He's on a one-year deal.
Yeah.
Be nice to have him back for another year, wouldn't it?
He's had a good year. Yeah, in terms of Shaq Barry, he's pricey, but I agree with you. It would be nice for once to have guys say, I feel like something is brewing here. Something positive is happening in Tampa Bay, and I want to remain in this organization and not just take the first great offer I get somewhere else where I think I have a better opportunity to make the playoffs. I want them to believe they can make the playoffs right here in Tampa Bay. It's been a long time since a guy could go in and legitimately think, hey, you know, we're not that far away. The Bucs have, let's summarize here what we just saw and where we're at. The bottom line is this. The Bucs have some pieces. They've got a lot of nice pieces. And I think more than anything, that's what you get really excited about, this realization that, you know, at every level on the field, I can look and say there are nice pieces. It's not a complete team yet. We already know that. But it's getting close. And now the question about the quarterback is all that lingers, is whether or not they're going to pay him. And right now, I think the odds are they are. He's playing quite well right now.
If the next four look like the last four, he's fine.
He's fine.
He's retained at the very minimum. Extended to what degree, I don't know.
Yeah. All 2019 vehicles must go at Bill Curry Ford. General Manager Sean Sullivan has slashed prices to incredible lows to clear out room for more 2020 inventory. Now is the time to get shopping at BillCurryFord.com. Remember their famous lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. And don't forget your trade-in will be a full year older and less valuable on January the 1st. Get to BillCurryFord.com. Lee DeKemper, JoeBucksFan.com. The website, he joins us next.
Shopping for a used F-150, a car, or an SUV? Find Tampa's biggest and best used inventory at Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Shop now at BillCurryFord.com and see the nationwide lifetime warranty on pre-owned vehicles. Now, here's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
Roll it on. Let's bring him in, my man, Lee DeKemper, JoeBucksFan.com, the website. You guys know it. You're on it every day. Lee joins us now, as he's wont to do on the Scuttlebucks. Hello, Lee. How are you, brother?
Jeff, can't complain. You know, I hope things are going well for you, and it's a Bucks win this past Sunday, so things are good.
Yeah, things are really good. How about us being able to sit down and talk about another win? And in fact, it's odd. That's back-to-back wins. That's three of the last four, and I think the Bucks have a legitimately good chance to take down the Colts this Sunday. I don't want to get ahead of myself, because after that, it's the Lions. All of a sudden, you're talking about a legitimate winning streak and a dream of a 500 season.
Oh, yeah. And you mentioned it just a moment ago. You said how odd. I mean, this Bucks franchise has been so downtrodden in the past few years that two wins in a row, you almost want to uncork the champagne bottle.
You do. I was downright giddy on Sunday with the way that first half played out. Sheer domination.
Oh, it was amazing. You know, I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer at all. First, the defense played lights out, and that was fantastic to see how the defense took over like that. But you know what? If it wasn't for such solid play from the defense, I'm not so sure they win that game. You know, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself to use the phrase that you just used. But the offense in the second half, maybe it's because they were playing with the lead. But my gosh, it was good to see the defense for a change take over and support the offense, so to speak. And the guys on offense, I talked to Mike Evans, I talked to Allie Marpet, and they were saying the same thing in the locker room, that they were really, really geeked that the defense played so well and put the offense in a good position to win.
Well, yeah, they have to hold their end of the bargain at some point, and they did. I thought the Bucks got awfully conservative. I thought Tampa Bay went into a bit of a shell in the second half. Some of that I thought was commendable, in the sense that you have a quarterback that's prone to turn the football over. Even when I defend him vehemently, the truth is I do worry about his propensity to turn the football over, and the only thing that was going to get the Jags back in that game would be turnovers. So I understood applauded some of the passes Jameis chose not to make. Some of the sacks Jameis chose to go ahead and wear turned out to be good decisions. I once again hated late game play calling. Again, throwing the ball on third down there. You go ahead and run the ball, make them use their final timeout. He didn't do it. That's, you know, this is the kind of trend, frankly, with Leftwich and play calling there, or Arians not, you know, getting in his ear and saying we can run the ball here. But that said, look, we're in no position as Buccaneer fans to hold our nose up to the sky after a 28-11 road victory and back-to-back wins in general. We have to take that and roll on Big River.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, the defense, this defense, you know, it's starting to turn the corner at the right time. You know, I've talked to some defensive players, talked to Shaq Barrett, talked to JPP, and I asked them about the rookies and the young players, you know, specifically Devin White and the secondary. And they were telling me, like, hey, you know, and Shaq Barrett specifically is like, hey, you cannot expect a rookie to be playing at a Pro Bowl level right off the bat, like the first game of the season. He said that's unfair. And so he said Devin White, he was dinged up early in the year, and he's starting to learn. JPD even said that. He's starting to learn. He's starting to grasp what they're looking for, what it takes to be an NFL player, what it takes to be an NFL linebacker. And that's why you see him starting to become the player that Bruce Arians pimped him up to be back in March. And I think you could say the same thing about the defensive back.
Yeah.
Sean Murphy Bunting, to a lesser degree, Jamal Dean, that they're learning. You know, it's what, the 11th game of the season? They're not rookies anymore, so to speak. You probably heard that cliche before. And that all fit. It's why, it's one of the reasons why the secondary and the defense is playing lights out of late.
Well, they're certainly playing with an awful lot of confidence, too. I think early in the season, when you're uncertain of what you're doing and or you've got some guys playing through some injuries, that's a deadly combination for young players. And I think you see a lot of times they're out there thinking. The last few weeks, it's really looked like a team that's it's playing to their ability. They're playing, meaning that they're not out there thinking. They're letting their athleticism take over because they have great confidence in what they're doing. You look at Devin White, there's a guy that's not only playing with confidence, but he has extreme tools to work with. I mean, that's a physical man, a sizable one at that, able to go sideline to sideline, and he'll come up and hit you. Now that he knows what he's doing a little bit more and feels healthier, I think you're seeing the guy that obviously we all thought we were getting at LSU when they took him in the draft.
You're absolutely right. And you mentioned something that's a really good point about confidence. You know, Bruce Arians was asked about the takeaways the Bucs are getting. You know, Devin White's interception, Sean Murphy Bunting, he had his second interception against Jacksonville. And Arians said that's huge because when rookies and young players are able to get takeaways, that tells themselves, I can hang in this league. I can play in this league. And he said confidence is a huge, huge thing for young players. And so I think you really hit the nail on the head when you mentioned confidence.
I got to ask you, you do such a good job of getting down there in the locker room and covering this football team for JoeBucksFan.com, Lee, and I always appreciate that. But I also want to ask you, what's your sense of that locker room right now? Since you're in it and you talk to those guys and you get the opportunity after games and during the week, I'm kind of curious. I would think this is a group growing and growing together, beginning to believe. We referenced confidence twice now, but I wonder if that's pervasive in the locker room. Can you sense that?
Getting to believe. You know, as you stated earlier, the defense is playing to their talent level now, or starting to at least. And the front seven has played strong all year long. It was the secondary that was a weak point. And now that the secondary is playing well, you get a sense, yes, confidence, but you get a sense of, you know, we can do this. Not just confidence, but excitement. There's a tinge of excitement that you get from the players now that they're looking forward to hitting the field. And you use doubt a little bit ago too. There's no more doubt. They're energetic. They're excited to get on the field. It's a lot different vibe than it was a month ago. Where a month ago it was like more like a workman-like attitude. Like, okay, we got to go out. We got to do X, Y, and Z. Now there's a little bit of a passion. There's a little bit of a drive where I didn't sense that earlier. And here's something else I'll tell you. It's not necessarily in the locker room. I guess in a sense it is. I did some digging, and a JoeBucksFan.com reader, he Twittered me this Sunday. Did Hargraves getting run make that big of a difference? If you think about it, if you go back and look at the research, ever since Hargraves was benched and subsequently released, this secondary has played a whole lot different and a whole lot better. And I started working the phones and talking to some people, and what I found out was it's not necessarily Hargraves was released. What it was is that really sent a message in a locker room, especially the younger players, especially to the younger secondary players, that they need to get off their rear end. That if the Bucs are going to slice off a first-round pick, nobody's safe. And from what I understand, that was a big-time message sent that guys got to get their heads out of their rear end.
Well, that's good, and I always like to hear that. I also think that it's addition by subtraction in terms of the physical tools you see on the field. Hargraves sucks. Look, the bottom line is, how long were we going to watch that guy just not cover people? He was terrible, period. He was terrible. Yep. First round, fifth round, doesn't matter. He couldn't play. So you get him off the field, and then you throw in the mix that you're getting a guy who can't play off the field and a guy who wasn't trying real hard. That, according to Bruce Arians and all of us with eyes. So You know, at the end of the day, yeah, that had to be a huge boost. I don't want to say it's the reason for this great turnaround. The schedule got a little bit more manageable. That certainly helps. Sure. But at the end of the day, you know, you get guys out there who aren't playing well and you continually run them out there. It's demoralizing for the team as a whole. So, yeah, that had to be an uptick. Well, this is a lot more fun than we typically have. Being able to talk to you after back-to-back wins and then actually having legitimate expectations of a big game and a potential three-game win streak, I'm excited. We'll see. Now, I'm not going to assume that because the Colts can play a little bit, so Bucks are going to have to play well. But I think if they do, they'll win this game, and we're going to continue the party next week, Lee.
Well, I tell you what, it certainly is refreshing to discuss meaningful games in December for a change.
Well, it's also incredibly rare, so I'm going to revel in this. I'm going to smile as we talk, and I'm going to have nothing but a positive attitude as we get through the week. Always appreciate it, buddy. Be well.
Hey, you too, Jeff. Thanks a bunch. Have a good one.
Yeah, take care. That's Lita Kemper, JoeBucksFan.com. Another reminder, all 2019 vehicles must go at Bill Curry Ford. General Manager Sean Sullivan, my man. Slash prices to incredible lows to clear out room for more 2020 inventory. Now is the time to get shopping at BillCurryFord.com. Remember their famous lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. And don't forget, your trade-in is going to be another year older and less valuable on January the 1st. Get to BillCurryFord.com. Let's come back and reflect on what we just talked about there and look ahead for the Bucks here on the Scuttabucks.
Shopping for a used F-150, a car, or an SUV? Find Tampa's biggest and best used inventory at Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Shop now at BillCurryFord.com and see the nationwide lifetime warranty on pre-owned vehicles. Now, here's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
The Bruce Arians quote, I'll read it for you. It's pretty straightforward, but it's an amazing thing. I don't want to lose sight of it. I don't want to. I think it's reflective of something that's kind of been the theme on the show so far today. Quote, we're coming into stadiums expecting to win. And, you know, it's interesting. It speaks to the confidence that he's seen grow in the locker room and for his young players and for his players in general. I mean, coaches, I'll say this. I get it. I'm very fortunate. This business has allowed me to be around a lot of coaches and of different sports, you know, varying sports, basketball, golf, obviously football. And, you know, something they all have in common across the board, every coach, whether it's a college or professional coach and or player for that matter. When you sit down and talk to them, you can get into the X's and O's, and that's interesting. That's always fascinating. I like to learn just like anybody else. So sitting around and talking about what you see on film or why you're running a certain scheme or why you choose to avoid certain other elements is fun. But all of them fall back on really basic stuff when they talk about what's needed to win consistently. Got to have good players. Everybody knows that, but that's a baseline. It's always about confidence. It's crazy. I do a golf show on Sirius XM, PGA Tour Network, and you talk to a coach, you talk to a player, invariably the word confidence comes up within a few minutes of the conversation. You can be talking technicality, you can be talking about your swing or the course or course management. Confidence always comes up. Coaches, when their teams start winning football games, confidence comes up pretty quick in the press conference. So, we're playing a little bit more confidence now. I'm seeing it daily from this guy and that guy and this guy. And then that kind of creates an atmosphere where guys buy in and they all begin to believe. And that's the most exciting thing about what's happening in Tampa Bay right now. Look, are the Bucks an elite team? No, we're not there yet. We're trying to build to that. I said earlier, you know, that there are pieces. We can identify pieces that are elite pieces. I mean, I believe that. But confidence is not something this organization has seen a lot of from its players, and why should they? I mean, they've been terrible. It's been a poorly run organization. The results in the field have not been something that would allow you to garner confidence. But I'm beginning to think they believe a little bit more each week, and you talked about the importance of going into the offseason feeling good about yourself. I think it's huge. If they're confident going into this offseason that they took a huge step forward and the players begin to believe in their abilities and each other and Arians and staff, et cetera, yeah, man, you could go out next season with real expectations of a winning year.
Yeah, that's obviously where you'd like everybody's mindset to be at, because I think you draft better if you have more confidence that you have certain pieces in place.
Correct.
Right? And I think it works the same for the front office or the coaching staff as it would a player. But certainly for a fan, too. I could tell you that in my Bucks text message group chats, whatever, all that stuff, I keep tabs down there in Tampa. It's Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and it's more active than it usually is.
Yeah, people are saying,
we're going to kick their ass
today.
Well, they were
that's
right.
Funny, yeah.
We're catching points. You're like, what?
Yeah.
Listen, if Gardner Minshew was named the starting quarterback on Wednesday last week before the Scuttlebucks, I would have thought,
pick him.
This is probably a coin flip because they have an identity, and we talked about it on the way out.
Yeah, I thought it would have been a pick him.
But with Foles, that's one of the worst teams in the NFL. And that's the good thing about the Bucks and where we are right now. It's baby steps, man. We're not that anymore. We're not that team that has no chance on a Sunday. The Jags with Foles had no chance to win that game. So it's nice to be there. It's nice not to be in the basement of this division to see that the Falcons are absolute crap. It scared me. It really scared me that week.
Well, they were trending in the right direction until we, you know.
Well, they paced New Orleans in the Superdome.
We beat it out of them, though. Whatever confidence they were garnering was beat out of it.
Okay, so I thought all season, you know, even before the big slide and after the big slide, we're an average football team. You get the results against the Giants and the Titans, and you're right there in that middling group, the 6-10s, the 7-9s, wherever. Mm-hmm. We're showing that, but trending on the upside of it. Because if you finish 7-9, you're not insane as a Bucs fan to say to yourself, this team could have been 9-7 with two easy, you know, a 38-yard kick or however, I mean, my 33, whatever it was.
34, wasn't it?
And then a non-call by an official. Like, not crazy things where you say, well, if Jameis didn't turn it over twice in this situation. No,
right, no.
Obvious
crazy
things.
Yeah.
So that's how close you are with the secondary being the worst in football for the first 2.5 months of the season, 3 months of the season.
Well, this game is everything to me right now because, okay, we restructure what we think about what's possible and where the, you know, where the organization's at and personnel and everything else with each passing game. Everything's a referendum. And that's the way it works when you only play 16 games. That's how you do it. You know, you got to break these things down. That's why we all have fun with Overreaction Monday. But the truth is, when you only have 16 games in which to get your data points, they all matter greatly. And so now that you've won two and you look at this game, you can win three. Well, you could. This is the one that I really, really want to win. I want to win them all. But I want to win this one because then I think a big-time win streak to end the year is entirely possible, and here's why. Great job, Lita Kemper at JoeBucksFan.com, the website. Read the story earlier about the 7 of 12 games the Bucks have played have been against the league's best pass-rushing teams. And Jameis has faced a lot of really, really good fronts, whether it be the 49ers, obviously, the Saints, who we can't block ever.
Well, we've got heavy leg tackles, right? It's not that Jameis faces him only.
Right.
Our tackles are, well, yeah.
So the Saints and the 49ers. Carolina's having a bad year, but they lead the league in sacks, so they'll get after you, obviously. And then, you know, you look at it, the Rams do too, and we made a mockery of them. And the Jags have a very good defense. So, look, he has faced a lot of elite, in terms of pass rushes, an awful lot of elite fronts. And now you've got another good pass rushing team. The Colts can really get after the passers. So you survive that and win this game. Detroit does not get after the passer at all. They have nothing to play for right now. I can't assume anything. It's the NFL, but I like our chances going to Detroit to win that game.
Yeah.
And then, you know, in addition to that, and I keep going back to this because I'm so excited about where we're at all of a sudden, you know, the Texans, with all the injuries they've had, this will be that game will be more about our defense trying to get stops against Deshaun.
Right, yeah, it's a score fest.
Yeah, they're not going to get after us. And then the Falcons. So,
yeah.
Man, you, it's not far-fetched to start talking about a crazy win streak to close out the year. I mean, it's a possibility that they could win six straight. They probably won't, but they certainly could.
Right.
If you get this game Sunday, you could.
Well, and but here's the thing. You know, let's say you win this weekend, and you should win the Lions game, but there's three picks and a fumble by the quarterback. Well, I mean, that's always out there. That landmine is still out there for the next
month. Well, this is where he has to continue to show the maturity we're seeing right now. This is where he has to continue to allow us to grow in the belief that that's the guy. If you're the guy, you go play well in those games.
You got to go take it at some point.
If you're the guy, you got to go play well. He played well this week. He played well, certainly played real well against the Falcons. And he played well against the Cardinals. The Saints, we can't block.
For me, I have more faith in the Lions game for the reason that it's on the road. We play well on the road. We got to figure out what the hell's going on at home. And I understand that we didn't play at home for 48 days.
Yeah,
and one of those eight home games this year is actually in London. So those things don't help. But we got to be a little bit more consistent at home. I feel better just by default if we're playing in somebody else's stadium. Like the Seahawks game. There was no reason at that point in the year to think that we'd go up there and play well. I still did. What we saw from that offense, I fully expected to see because we do that. We show up in weird moments. But if we create the consistency in between, that's when people can really hang their hat on this team and they'll want to buy the seat license if somebody else is selling it. They'll get the gear. That's kind of where I am right now. Is all right. I knew we were kind of average, below average, but are we trending in the right direction such that, say, I don't know, in March, it just hits me. I'm randomly driving down the road in March, spring training. I'm thinking, man, I wonder what we're going to do in the draft because we're only a piece or two away. When's the last time we really thought and felt like that?
You know, to your point about feeling how close you are, the Bucs are a weird team, and we're at that place right now at 5-7. But you look at that point differential, you know that we're only 6 points away from having a positive point differential, that we've closed that gap now.
Okay, speaking of points, I got a funny number for you. I was looking at the point totals and the standings this week myself. The Colts and the Bucks live in different worlds as far as what they're watching on a week-to-week basis. Our offense has outscored them by 79 points this season.
Yeah,
everybody's played 12 games.
Yeah.
Right. But our defense has given up 89 more points than the Colts.
Yeah.
So we are watching wildly different football teams. This is going to be a clash of styles on Sunday.
One thing that's interesting is to listen to the perceptions begin to shift nationally on a lot of different shows. I listen to a ton of podcasts. I listen to a lot of different types of shows. I've made no secret of the fact that I like to gamble. So I listen. I'm trying to get as much information as possible about the league as a whole because I can't watch everybody all the time. None of us can. I mean, I got it. League Pass helps or any of that stuff. But, you're going to tune into the areas of the country where you're maybe not as locked in on a weekly basis.
Right. So if it's college football, are you going to trust Trevor Maddich or are you going to trust a Sharp out in Vegas?
Right. I'm going to trust
the
Sharp. I'm going to trust the Sharp. So what I do is I go around to these regions and I find the shows that I've, over time, been able to cultivate – as perhaps either the most entertaining, but typically the most informative, because this isn't one of those I'm driving around wanting to be entertained. It's what I do for a living. Obviously, I want to learn. Like, do they have a plethora of injuries this week that they're dealing with on the offensive front? You know, what's going on?
There is something about NFL injuries and those being quiet.
Yeah, for whatever reason, right?
How many times over the years do you tune into a random game, you're like, holy crap, they're missing 3/5 of their offensive line? Why wasn't this like screamed from the hilltops during the week instead of talking about some nonsense off the field?
I'm going to help you out right now, and everybody else who's a sporting guy or gal out there, take a good long look at the 49ers this week on the road against the Saints. I like them a lot. The Saints are all beat up front. You can't be beat up front against the 49ers defense. You've got real problems there. And oh, by the way, Drew Brees' arm.
It's questionable. Listed as questionable for the weekend.
Every week. Against that defense? Come on, man. That actually doesn't feel like a good matchup.
He's on the participation report as questionable. Arm strength is the reason. Arm strength.
He goes to the front office. Why am I listed as questionable? Drew, have you watched the film of your arm? Sir, that's every week. We're worried about it.
Sean Payton's like, it's me, Drew.
Yeah.
You can tell. Haven't you noticed the routes I'm calling?
But what I was going to say
and out, Drew, not 14 and out like it used to be, baby.
Everything's underneath. Everything's a check down. But anyhow, I say that to say this about listening in on folks and trying to get a feel for everything. You also, in the course of doing that, hear the way that people talk about the NFC South, the way that people talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and any number of other teams, obviously, in that division. But they all talk about how, you know, I was looking today. Did you realize the Bucs lead the league in points? And then, you know, you'll hear things like this. People, even those that are adamant that Jameis won't work, you hear them catch themselves because they're in the midst of trying to make a point, and then they look at the numbers like, geez, he's actually having a – that's not a terrible year. I'm just saying, you look at the numbers, and, it's probably because they're trailing all the time, and, they try to excuse it away at that point. Because when you look up and you realize he's going to go easily, blow past 4,000 yards for the year, he's going to throw 30 touchdowns, the only thing that's hurting him are the interceptions. And, when you see those kinds of numbers, anybody – who's doing what I'm doing, they're trying to learn about teams, they're like, well, maybe they should keep Jameis. Yeah, like you can hear them starting to shift their view of, hey, the Bucs aren't A, an automatic win for us or anybody else, and B, God, they do some things well down there.
Yeah, I'm a month away from saying let's outright extend them. I still like the idea of more information is needed, franchise tag. Because what leverage does he and his camp have to say, well, we're going to hold out unless you give us a contract? They have no leverage, like zero leverage to do that. So I would franchise him unless this next month is
a disaster.
Unequivocally great or terrible.
Yeah.
One thing I'd like to note real quick, Scotty Miller was out, and I was talking to one guy on Twitter. I was like, here comes 12 targets for Breshad Perriman. He played well.
I'm glad
he's
you said
his
it.
Act together.
Well, I'm glad you said it because I have taken some shots at him purposely. They were intentional and necessary. Good game. He had a good game. Played a really good football game. Has no situational or field awareness, has no body awareness.
Well, he got his feet down in a moment for us.
He did. I'm going to
They said incomplete, and I would understand why you'd say that.
I chalked it up to dumb luck. But, I mean, hey, every squirrel, the nut, all that stuff. But, hey, he did. He played well, and caught the ball with his hands.
Yes, yes.
Made some exceptional catches, yeah.
For me, I'd say...
People say, what else is going to catch it with Jeff? The body.
Well, yeah, you can catch it into your chest, into your breastplate, as it were. The thing about Jameis' performance that I really liked the most was the throws he made in the first half. It's really windy in that stadium, and it's notoriously hard for kickers.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a Florida fan down there, first of all, screw you. Second of all, that game in Jacksonville every year, you know it. You know exactly what I'm talking about. The winds, they swirl. I remember for a Florida-Georgia game 3 or 4 years ago, who's the former kicker that CBS hired to be a kicking analyst? I forget, but they have a specialized guy. He said, the thing about Jacksonville is you look in this end zone and you look where the flags are going, you got to kick the opposite. You got to play the opposite wind.
Which is bizarre, yeah.
Well, for a quarterback, that matters too. Swirling winds. I mean, it was like always a talking point about Eli Manning in the old Meadowlands. Was that place had its own unique winds, and unless you're a home quarterback there, you can get fooled on some throws. So Jameis was able to deliver throws with velocity and accuracy down the field in windy conditions. That's really important because sometimes I think his arm, things flutter out of his hand.
Well,
it's not that he doesn't have the arm strength, but you look at the spiral.
At
the spiral, it looks a little ugly. So he was able to cut the ball through the wind this weekend. That's a good positive step forward.
And while we're at it, handed out game balls towards the end of the podcast here. Matt Gay, since you're talking about him, listen, if you told me at the beginning of the year, especially with all that happened early on in the season, that my man would be 23 of 26 for the season.
Right.
Okay. I mean, look, he's made 58 yarders. He makes difficult.
One of those three misses was critical.
Really needed you to make the easiest kick you've ever attempted from 34. But, and by the way, on the season, he's 5 of 6 from 30 to 39. He's 6 of 6 from 20 to 29. He's 8 of 9, 40 to 49. He's 4 of 5, 50 plus. Any way you slice that, that's an exceptional year for a kicker. He's having a great year. Now, you say, Jeff, have you looked at the extra points? Got it. Going to need you to make more extra points with greater consistency. Agreed. But ever since they backed that thing up, the league is a mess. Kickers everywhere. Good ones everywhere. Shanking the hell out of extra points.
Oh, what about Dan Bailey on Monday night?
It's just nuts, these
34-31 is a completely different game the way you defend it, the way you call it on him. I mean,
it happens all the time. Well, the greatest kicker to ever live, Adam Vinatieri.
Oh. Who is coming to town this weekend.
Yeah. Is a mess.
Yes.
Just a guess, if you're driving around out there, you're listening, maybe you're on your walk, maybe you're listening in the shower, I don't know. Thanks for listening to the Scuttabucks. How many kicks, everybody? Let's play along.
You missed a spot. Get the loofah.
How many kicks do you think Adam Vinatieri has missed this year?
Overall?
Just how many kicks has he missed this year?
11.
Anybody else? I'm listening in. 14.
Oh, my God.
He's missed 14 kicks. How are you still employed?
Well,
I get it. You're the greatest kicker to ever live. You can walk around pantless for all the kicks you've made in critical moments. But my man, 14 missed kicks. Jesus.
It's an absurd amount of extra points. Still, I'm going to pull that up real quick. Breathing easy at 6-0 or 7-6 bucks. They're like, ooh.
Well, you know, now watch that guy's going to make a 52-yarder to win it against us. But I,
well, he's got, you know, tiger blood or whatever the hell that Charlie Sheen called it.
Yeah. No, but it's unbelievable. That guy has been. Yeah.
6 extra points he's missed.
6 extra points.
Yeah.
14 kicks. I just, buddy, you can't. I mean, you can't make a living like that. You can't, if you're a Colts fan, you just got to be disgusted every week. They lost that Titans game because the kick got blocked, and that wasn't necessarily his fault.
It's a long one. Yeah.
And it gets blocked. He kicked it off.
The Titans, balls. Okay. I mean, can we just say the Titans and the Seahawks? Ever. It's just like it's like watching Goldberg in the Monday Night Wars. They're always going to win.
They always get every break imaginable.
Every break. I mean,
it's
like,
unbelievable.
Kansas City game for Tennessee. Get the hell out of here.
Go look. You want to do this, and we're having fun with this right now, and I know we got to wrap it up.
Referee has a, you know, blows it dead. We're going to take the lead.
Always. It's just nonsense. Here we go. Let me pull this up for us. All right.
While you're doing that, Seattle has played 10 one-score games
this
year.
That's what I was doing. They win every. Look, they are the anti-Chiefs. I mean, anti-Chargers. They are the anti-Chargers.
9-1 in one-score games are the Seahawks.
9-1. The anti-Chargers. The Chargers never lose by a lot. They're always in it. It comes down to the final play every week.
They're tied with San Francisco, right, uh-huh. Atop the division. They have the tiebreaker currently due to the Seahawks.
Yeah.
San Francisco has played in 4 one-score games. They're 2-2 in such games.
Well, you know.
Seattle's played in... freaking 10. I almost said something else. Well, 9-1.
That's why I'm not a huge believer. Listen, Monday night, the easiest play was the over. Their pass defense sucks. It just sucks. You got guys running free.
Well, Minnesota didn't realize that either.
Well, and then later
they didn't take any shots.
Well, yeah. They did later. I mean, they figured it out in the second half.
Necessity when they're down 17.
And they're just throwing to wide open dudes. It's crazy. By the way, those 49ers, which we don't know, may be the best team in the league. It's all there in front of them. How about that stretch? They play the Packers, who they dominate. Then they go on the road, lose barely 20-17 to the Ravens. Now they're at the Saints. And then at the end of the year, they go at the Seahawks. They got a chance to get revenge there. That's a complete team. That's a real good football
team. It is.
They don't have
God
elite
forbid
receivers.
Garoppolo gets hot.
Well, if they ever go out and get a real elite receiver, they'd be the best team in the league. I mean, they're really, really good.
I'm trying to think who's available.
No.
Well,
but the league has to decide whether or not he can play.
Antonio?
Yeah.
Oh, they've let him. Yeah, there's talk of the Patriots might, but I think it's too late for that. The ship has sailed.
Well, when you're
as bad as their offense is.
Yeah, when you're tweeting out about your owner's rub and tug, you can't. I mean,
he apologized to Kraft.
Who cares?
Though.
Yeah. He already did it. I'd tell him to go to hell.
I don't know. Looking at that offense, they may tell him
to stretch the field. Go find somebody else. Come on now. That guy's a clown. Don't do that.
John Lynch wouldn't do that anyway.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
I don't think John Lynch would sign. I mean, just
probably
going by John.
Probably. Well, who should? Nobody should. He's a clown. He's a
right.
buffoon.
Well, the Redskins would sign him. You kidding me? That place is a joke.
Why would he sign there? That's crazy. Well, I mean, I know he wants a job, but good Lord.
Amari Cooper said he wants to come back to Dallas. If I was Amari Cooper, I'd look over yonder.
San Francisco?
San Francisco.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the league is interesting, man. It's fun down the stretch here. We got a lot of cool stuff to talk about, and one of them is the Bucks. How about that? So thanks to all of you. Good work.
You feeling it?
I feel good. I like us this
Calling
week.
Calling your shot?
Yeah, I like the Bucks this week. I do. I think they're going to beat the Colts. I do. I may be overly optimistic after a 2-game win streak, 3 of 4, I might add. But we played well in that loss to the Seattle, and that was an overtime game on the road. So it's really 4 of the last 5 weeks we've been right there. And I like us against the Colts. I think it's a close game. The defense has to continue to play with confidence because that's the test here. I do think, obviously, that if they continue to play well or decent, we know the Bucks can score. The Bucks score on everybody.
What I'm most interested in for this weekend, and I'll ask my buddies down there because I'm not going. I'll be down week 17. What's the atmosphere like? Are people buying in? Does Ray J feel like it did in September for the Giants game? Got a little bit more energy around it, pre-kick, all that stuff?
At least this is not a New York team, right? I mean, they're not going to take over the stadium. I don't think Colts fans are all jumping on the bus.
Not at 6-6, no. With Brissett.
If you walk into that stadium and you see an inordinate number of Colts fans, what the hell? I mean, really?
Well, I traded my shirt when they got Dungy because we did Dungy wrong.
Oh, Jesus. Did the right thing with him. Moved on and won a Super Bowl. All right. Always a pleasure. Thanks for listening to the Scuttlebucks. We'll be back next week with you, hopefully, and talk about a three-game win streak. Possible? Knock on wood. Cross your fingers, everybody. Go Bucks.